Hi, if you're looking for greater hope, assurance, and confidence through the shifting sands of life, then join me on today's episode as we dig deep into the Bible to discover rock-solid truth for life and living from the God of the Bible. I'm your host, Scott Keffer. Hi, and welcome to today's episode. As always, for a deeper experience, you can go to the show notes and download the blank insight sheet. Fill in the blanks along with the group. Depending on how you're listening to this, there will be a link to the episode website at beholdingbibletruth.com, and a sheet with the answers is included as well. Enjoy today's episode.
One of the business coaches that I work with said, if everything that exists is going to fade away and go to dust one day, he said, then you can just create your own purpose in life. And I was thinking about that, and of course he used to run a very successful group of gyms across the country, so he's really jacked, yeah. And he's very successful. And I thought, when you're successful and everything seems to be going your way, it's okay to live in a world without purpose and to create your own purpose. He said, just create your own purpose. But all that is a great masquerade to the fact that if there is no God, then there is no purpose. If there is no God, then life is random. And if there is no God, then you're worthless. Just do whatever you want to do. You can just bang from thing to thing to thing, right? But at the end of the day, that's an awful way to live, isn't it? Right? Because everybody struggles with the vacuum of, don't I mean something? Don't I have value? Don't I have purpose? And so one of the great things that you discover when God calls you out of darkness to himself is that he has a purpose for you. Because God does all things well, and he works all things after the counsel of his will, and he works all things with purpose and on purpose. And so as a result of that, the fact that you've been called out of darkness to him, you can live your life on purpose with purpose. And that's what we've been talking about. How do we finish well? How do we finish strong? How do we finish, right, literally with our boots on, right? How many want to do that, right? And as time goes along, and as the world seemingly gets crazier, it's really important, right, not only when I say when you're uncertain in life, what's my philosophy? Run to the core. It's the same way in your life. When your life gets uncertain, run to the core. Your life gets just, when you're unclear, run to the core. You have to be really clear about the core of what you've been designed for, what you've been created for. And then we find our plot in life, and he says, dwell in the land and cultivate faithfulness, right? Cultivate faithfulness. Understand the plot that you've been given. God has given you a plot with purpose. And so we're on our session here, and we're going to be talking about purpose, right? So very first couple of sessions, we looked at God's sovereignty, because if you want to finish well, you've got to be firmly rooted, deeply entrenched in the sovereignty and providence of Almighty God. If not, life doesn't make a whole lot of sense. And then we looked at the fact that you had to have daily routines, and at the core of that was your personal, one-on-one, intimate time, you and the Lord of the universe. He has inaugurated a new and living way for us. The Holy of Holies, right, has been opened up. Isn't that awesome? We get to enter in one-on-one fellowship. Besides all the other things that are helpful, that's at the core. That is at the center of what keeps us connected with him, intimate. He passed and he shed his blood to open up the Holy of Holies, right? That you don't need a high priest any longer because the high priest has gone before you. Isn't that great news? Great news. We enter in as priests, each one of us. It's the awesome news. Then we looked at the fact that as a result of that, you can live life fully, which we did last time. And this time, we're going to talk about one of my favorite things, which is big impact. In fact, I like big impact so much, I registered it. I own the trademark for big impact, right? Because that's what we're about, right? whether no matter where you are, no matter what you're doing, I think it's important to understand, no matter who you are, that you can have big impact because we have a big God.
He called us.
We're going to look at that today. So the very first thing is, if you look at this, we all know Psalm 139. Let's read this, right? For you formed my inward parts, you wove me in my mother's womb. I will give thanks to you, for I'm fearfully and wonderfully made. Wonderful are your works, and my soul knows it very well. My frame was not hidden from you when I was made in secret and skillfully wrought in the depths of the earth. We all know that. We've read it 100 times. Marianne's about to have a young one. That young one is fearfully and wonderfully made, and so were each of you. And so he reminds us, you are a custom creation. You are a custom creation, formed wonderfully, woven in the depths of the womb. Isn't that unbelievable? Who formed you? Who created you? He did. He did. He created you. You are a custom creation. That's just stunning if you think about it. Skillfully wrought in the depths of the earth. You're built with blinds and draperies, right? Yeah, right. He's hung certain blinds and draperies, right? And at the end of the day, he's woven you to be the way that you are. Again, that's marred by sin, but at the core of that, he has created you the way that you are, right? Created, you are a custom creation. And you are chosen when? Before time. Chosen before time. Just as he chose you in him, chosen before time. And think about that. In his great purpose and plan, right, known and crafted, right? And in God's world, it says in Revelation, by his will, you existed and were created. By his will, all things, but he says all things, existed and were created. I've shared this a number of times. This is stunning to me because by my will, I create things, right? And they exist, right? I might scratch something out. I might, you know, build it, buy the stuff. By my will, right? By my will, I create it, and then it exists. By God's will, it exists, and then it's created. Understand? In the mind of God, by his will, the very fact that he wills it, it exists. And then it is created at a point in time. But creation has a finite beginning, right? God is finite, not. We are finite. Chosen in him before the foundation of the world. So you are a custom creation, chosen before time, and you are called for his glory. Called for his glory. Let's read the Isaiah verse. Everyone who is called by my name and whom I have created for my glory, whom I have formed, even whom I have made. He is our maker. He is our maker. He says, can the clay mess with the potter? Yes, I do all the time. I'm talking clay, right? Back to the potter. What are you doing, right? But he reminds us, we are created for his glory. And he says, to the end that we are the first to hope in Christ Jesus, we should be, think about this, to the praise of his glory. Now, God spoke all things into being, which is a stunning accomplishment, that out of nothing, ex nihilo, out of nothing, he spoke everything into being. But that is pretty awesome, isn't it? Mm-hmm. But that he would make me to the praise of his glory, how could that be? And all the things that we fuss with God about, nobody fusses with that. Like, that's not right. That doesn't seem fair. That doesn't seem just that I would be to the praise of his glory. Because I know who I am and what I've done and what I've thought, right? He knows more. But he is making us to the praise of his glory. That's pretty stunning to me. And he says, we are his workmanship, his crafting, his creation. We are created in Christ Jesus for what? For good works. We are created for good works. It says another thing that is quite stunning is we are his companion worker. We are God's fellow worker. The word literally means companion. We are God's companion worker. Think about that. We're God's companion worker. So growing up, I was super shy. My brother was athletic, very outgoing. And so the only, I didn't play any sports. The only sports I played were the backyard when they didn't have enough kids, right? So my brother called me and I knew that meant they were one short, you know. So I played football. I didn't even have a helmet. They gave me one of those leather ones, you know, and the old one. And so, you know, the deal, right? The really good guys, my brother and somebody else, would become the captains, right? And then they'd pick. And I'd stand over there waiting, you know. And then it's always, who's going to pick Scotty? Right? Who's going to pick Scotty? My brother didn't want to pick me on his team, you know. Didn't want to pick me, right? Didn't want me on his team. But God says, you are his companion worker. I'm not sure I'd choose me to be on his team. But we are his fellow worker. He has included us in his work. Is that stunning? Does he need me? No. It's called grace. It's called grace that he would include me in his work. We are God's fellow worker. That just is unbelievable to me. Unbelievable to me. Now, how many can think of lots of reasons why God shouldn't use you? Raise your hand if you know lots of reasons that God shouldn't use you, of course. And you might say, because I'm not, because I am, right? So I want you to think about all those reasons that you would think, here's why God isn't going to use me. The things I've done or whatever, right? Alas, Lord God, behold, I did not or I cannot be used because. So we all have things to put in there. What would be the first thing that comes to your mind? Stuff I've done, I'm not able, I'm too afraid, I'm anxious, I'm busy, I've got golf, whoever, right? I've got lots of things, right, that get in the way of God using me. Well, Jeremiah was the same way. So God says to him, before I formed you in the womb, what? Listen to that. Before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. And the word is deeply intimate, deeply intimate. And before you were born, I consecrated you. What does that mean? Set you apart over here, right? Before you were even born, I knew you and I consecrated you. And I not only consecrated you, set you apart here, I appointed you. I gave you a purpose. I appointed you. What was it? Prophet to the nations. That's what it was for Jeremiah. But it's the same thing for us. I appointed you, fill in the blank. Then he says, well, Jeremiah says, excuse me, hello, I can't do that. What are you saying, right? Laughs, O God. Behold, no, I can't speak. I don't know how to speak. Because I'm too young. That's it. I can't do it, Lord. Sorry. I can't speak and I'm too young. There we go. And the Lord says, do not say. Do not say. Do not say. That's your do not says. He's saying, do not say. Oh, yeah, but Lord, you know, I've fallen. I have let you down so many times. I have sinned over and over again. I have done this in the past. Don't you know? Lord says, no, here's what you need to do. Everywhere I send you, just go. He's saying, wherever I send you, just go. And all that I command you, speak. Why? Because I've called you to speak. Then the Lord stretched out his hand, and what did he do? He gave him what he needed. He touched. He said, here's the provision. The Lord said to me, behold, I put my words in your mouth. So the two things you said, you're too young. He said, don't worry, wherever I send you, just go. And I'll be with you. And I'll touch your mouth with the provision you need to speak. Do not say. Those are your do not says. Those are your do not says. So the Lord says, whatever that is for you, I cannot, I do not, I will not. That's a different one, which is really the answer, right? Will you or won't you? The will issue. Because he says, you can't, you're right. You can't get older, that's fine. Wherever I send you, you shall go. You can't speak. He says, I will touch your mouth with the provision that you need. So he says, you're a custom creation, chosen before time, called for his glory, created for good works as God's fellow workers. And he says, all the reasons that you can't, don't say. Because I will take care of them. Just go where I tell you to go, do what I tell you to do, and by the way, I will be the provision for you to speak, whatever that is, because the calling was to speak. Is that the same for everybody? No. No, it happens to be what he was called for. Right? I will give you the provision for what I've called you to do, which is why I came up with the big impact map, was really to get clarity about what is that for each of us. What is that for each of us? I pulled that out. I thought we did that over a decade ago. Probably you remember, maybe Martha would remember, maybe Marlene, who've been around that long. These are clues. These are clues at how the Creator has designed you and educated you to be where you are today. The first clue is personality. The first clue is personality. If he wove you in the womb, then he did that. And he says you were fearfully and wonderfully, literally with craft made. Wonderfully made means amazingly constructed, skillfully wrought means woven together like needlework. That means he created you with a particular personality. And so there are a lot of tools out there. These are three that we find very helpful. Use them with ourselves. We use them with our kids, with Josh and Annie, which is very helpful because otherwise it would kill them as teenagers. Because what you realize is that they are unchecked strengths. Unchecked strengths. And so typically what you do when you raise kids is go, no, 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 no. They're like stallions who don't know how to harness their strength as opposed to squashing them, right? You come. So we would do the strengths finders and the Colby, and we put it on their doors, right? We hung it on their doors to remind us that's how they're woven, and to remind them that's how they're woven. So these are three tools that we've used. Myers-Briggs, anybody taken Myers-Briggs before? Okay, so Myers-Briggs, helpful. Introvert, extrovert, right? There's a lot of components of that. The StrengthsFinder would tell you, you know, how you're wired to do what, right? Where your core strengths are. And then Colby is how you do things, and how you're energized to carry out projects. Again, very helpful. We use this in business and we use this personally. So understanding God has woven you in a certain way. I am an introvert. I will never be anything other than an introvert. That's how I'm wired, right? What does that mean? It means I need times of refreshment apart. That doesn't mean I don't like people. There's that lady at Vets Code, me the one thing says this, you know, she said, I'm an introvert. And I go to that, you know, we went to one of those showers where they do those dumb little things. Yeah, the icebreakers. She said, you don't ask an introvert to do those things. So she said, you know, two truths and one lie, right? Two truths and one lie. So she said, I hate you, and I hate you. And I walked out the door. Well, that's really not true for an introvert. It just means that introverts take energy, right, from people, right? So my friend Lee is an extrovert. He was with the Navigator. He helped us grow, Lee and Jan, when she passed, Lee and Mary. So if Lee and I were driving home at midnight, and he saw, and we're both dead tired, and he saw his neighbor, he would roll down the window. Within 5 minutes, he'd be wide awake and ready to roll because he would be energized by the neighbor. If I drove home and I wasn't dead tired and I saw my neighbor, I'd pull in the driveway, turn on the thing. Particularly if I've been with people, right? So when we do 4-day events, I have to go away and nap. I have to go away and just sit in the room. I have to go away and not interact. Does that make sense? Had I not known that, you'd think, well, what's wrong with you? So understanding your personality, how you're wired, very important. Some people are people, some people are projects, just understanding all that. Does that make sense? So the very first thing is personality. Second clue that God gives you are the promises that he has given to you. Now in his word, there are general promises for all people, of course, but the second area are promises. How many have had promises from Scripture that God has spoken right out of Scripture for you? You know they're for you. Really? Oh, so if you haven't, just ask. From give me a life verse to, I think I shared this before, if we're buying a house or moving or changing a job or any major changes, I'll ask God, give us a verse for that. We were thinking about buying a new house. said, Lord, give me a verse. The verse was very clear. Don't. Don't. Dang. Are you sure I heard that? But I want to stand on his promise if we're making a major life change. Does that make sense? So promise it. Give me a life verse. Give me, right, clarity about whatever. Let's read this. Not one word of all the good words which the Lord your God spoke concerning you has failed. All have been fulfilled for you. Not one of them has failed. Isn't that cool? Joshua, at the end of his days, want you to be able to say that. What are the promises that he has given you? So personality promises. Again, these are clues. These are, flip it over. The next area would be, right? What did he say to Jeremiah? He said, I will touch your mouth. I will put my words in your, I will give you the provision that you need to carry it out. So the next area is provision. Provision. So the first area are spiritual gifts. Spiritual gifts. Well, he's given those to other people, right? Different kind of gifts. Who has the spiritual gift? Every believer for the common good. But to each one is given the manifestation of the Spirit for the common good. But to each one, that means every believer as a gift or gift from God, which are a provision for what he has designed you to do. For he says, just as we have many members in one body and all the members do not have what? The same function. Since we have gifts that differ according to the grace that was given to us. Grace is provision. It's God's favor and mercy. Each of us is to exercise them accordingly. Not one gift or gifts are better than others. They're all equal. Fact is, he's given it to you to know that it's yours. You can look, this is from Romans 12, 3 through 8, 1 Corinthians 12, 1 through 11 has other gifts. It's important to understand how has he equipped you. And we are to, let's read this from 1 Peter, as each one has received a special gift, employ it in serving one another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. Whoever speaks, to do so as one who is speaking the utterances of God. Whoever serves, as to do the one who is serving by the strength which God supplies, so that in all things God may be glorified through Jesus Christ. So he's saying, what are we to do with our gifts? Employ. Employ. It's a great word, isn't it? Employ. Put them to work. Employ. Now notice he says, so whoever speaks, if you have the gift of speaking, here's how you should do it, right? As one speaking the utterances of God. If you have the gift of help, as helping with the purposes of God. If you have the gift of leadership, as leading, right, through the gifts of God. And then he says, whoever serves, same way, do so as one who is serving by the strength. So he's saying, understand your gift has God's purpose to it, but it's also he's provided, right, the strength and the power to carry it out. It is his provision. Employ your gifts, he says, for the glory of God, so that, underline that, so that in all things, so that is the ultimate reason, if you will, right? So that in all things, God may be glorified through Jesus Christ. Because the gifts are all his. And presumably, he has distributed them throughout the body of Christ. So together, all together, we would be employing all of his gifts. If it worked like it should, but rarely does. Why? Because we're sinful. We're sinful and we're broken. Then the other area, spiritual gifts, the other area are natural gifts. Natural gifts. So his provision, spiritual gifts, natural gifts, that combination. Spiritual gifts are supernaturally powered for the purpose of God. Natural gifts are just the fact that we have natural gifting. Natural gifting. So his provision. The next clue are your principles. Your principles. Principles. Or commonly referred to as your core values. Your core values. You can write down, these are your guide rails. These are how I go about doing it, and the guide rails keep me on the path, if you will. Keep me on the path. Some would be shared by all, right? We'd probably say the believer's integrity would be certainly one of our core values, but there are other core values that would be particularly unique to you. It's good to understand what are your core values. This, in other words, this is the way I do things. This is the way I do things. Always with integrity would make sense. So you have principles that are particularly yours. Fortunately, with scripture, that gives us a lot of clear sense of what biblical core values would be, for sure. How many have said this sometime? If only the church would do more. How many have done that? Sean, everybody. Whatever that fills in, how many, if only the church would do more of this, that is a major frustration. Oftentimes will be a clue to a passion that you have. Why? Because we're wired in a particular area. Of course, major frustrations are a clue to passions. Because for us, there isn't anything else. Why don't they pray more? Why don't they pray for missionaries more? Yeah, passion. Indicative of calling. Does that make sense? And then sometimes you'll say, why don't people get... How many have done that? Well, duh. Don't you understand? That's a passion. That's clear. God has given you a clue about that. Right? And you wonder, why didn't everybody share this? Everybody's not been given the same passion, not the same calling. Get it? Get it? So frustration, major frustration. And the flip side of that are major motivations. We have energy around doing this. And particularly doing it over a long period of time. It requires, particularly in ministry, it requires major motivation, doesn't it? And a reminder, a rebooting of our motivation. I think the false understanding as a Christian is that I don't need motivation fill up every day. Around my calling, I have to fill my motivational tank every day. Anybody a Zig Ziglar fan here? Oh, come on, the Zig. I mean, the Zig is... So Zig would say, you know, people say, oh, motivation wears off. He said, so does the shower. That's why I shower every day. It's true. But if you think, oh, I should just wake up motivated. No, you need to fill your motivation tank daily. Or you can just bop along on E, see how long you can go, right? So you need to understand, these are my passions. My passions need fuel. Because they wear out, don't they? Don't they? They get, right? You run on empty for too long, and you wonder, why isn't everybody the same? Well, did the Apostle Paul want to do the same thing? Mm-hmm. Yeah. Did the Lord Jesus want to do the same thing? Same frustration. So motivation. So you understand what are your major motivations, and also, how am I filling my motivational tank on a daily basis? Need to be doing that, otherwise you get frustrated, right? Why are more people discipling? The heck, why aren't they doing it, right? You think that, like, what is up, right? What is up? How come more people don't equip, right? Be equipped to answer, right? Because that's how you're wired, right? That's a passion for Jack, right? Be equipped to give an answer. That's the clue to how we're wired. Does that make sense? Passions. The next, He's providence. He's the God of the hills and the valleys. The God of the hills and the valleys. Great song. He's the God of the hills and the valleys. Right? So we have major valleys and some that are life-changing, life-altering, at least huge, right? And we have hills and valleys, right? So it's good to sort of say, what are the top three? What are the top three? You can list them all, but it's really to say, what are the insights that I've got? Because God experientially has walked you through experiences in life to equip you for today, where you are right today. And more importantly, for equip you for what's tomorrow. What is tomorrow? He brought you through the school of life, yeah. And Jesus, that's how he discipled, life on life, right? He discipled life on life. And we've all had major hills and valleys, right? So Providence. So the idea with the map, if you take out your other sheet, the idea with the map is to use it as a kind of dashboard, right? So on the map, let's say up here in the corner, okay, is if you write down, what do I understand about my personality? Put some of the clues down there about how you're wired. And then in the center, I just write down, what are some of the key promises that God has given me? What are some of the key promises that he has? So now I have, there's my personality, there are my promises. Over here is, what are his provisions? Right? What are my spiritual gifts, my natural gifts? I look at those three, okay? Over here, I'm gonna say, what are my core principles? In the center, I write down what are the providential moments. And then I list out my passions, which is, you know, my frustrations and my motivations. Makes sense? Over here is my mountains and my valleys. So here's my spiritual gifts and my natural gifts. Makes sense? Is that helpful? Because this is provision. So I look at my personality, promises, right? And I look at, these are all his clues, right? Those are all his clues. What has he brought you through? Mountains and valleys. How's he wired you in the womb? What promises has he given you over time? What provisions? Here are my spiritual gifting, here's my natural gifting. What are my core principles? These are the things that matter to me. Mastery is one of the things that matter to me, right? Mastering, right, in your life. Passions, frustrations, motivation. You see that? Now I've got some clues in there. And from that, we're looking at your big impact and really to come up with a, at the center here is a purpose statement. So at the bottom, put in your name and date. And if you've done this before, put the version. If you've never done this before, put version one. Put version one. The nice thing about version one, it means there can be a version two and three and four. You don't have to get it right, right? You just, even a bad one, even a bad one. So if you go back to the teaching sheet, under the last area of purpose. Well, first of all, do this. Fill this out, anything you can put down, because we'll send you another copy, you can do, right? In other words, put anything you might know about your personality. Any major promises, so I'll give you a couple minutes to do this, right? Spiritual gifts, natural gifts, any core principles, some key providential events, and frustrations and motivation. Here's the key to this. Take your pen right here. Everybody put their pen up. Stick it on the piece of paper and start to write. Take your pen, everybody get their pen, stick it on the piece of paper and start to write. They asked Jerry Seinfeld, everybody a Jerry Seinfeld fan? They said, what do you do every day for your profession? He said, the same thing I've done since 1977. Every day for 8 hours, I have a piece of paper and a pen. And he said, I cannot write, but I can't do anything else. So he said, I put the pen to the paper and I start to write. Right? So put the pen to the paper, right? As best you can, don't worry about it. You can edit, you can. I finally got the ladies erasable ink pens in the office because they said, oh, if I write, it's the wrong thing. You can erase it. It doesn't have to be the right thing. There is no right thing. Just as best you can. And you don't have to do it sequentially. How many fill out sheets like this sequentially? Start at the left, go sequentially. How many just put answers all over the place? Okay, that's different kind of wiring, get it? It's okay. There's not one way to fill out the sheet. There are lots of clues, right? Okay, you have now done more than 99.9% of the people have done in terms of thinking about your purpose in life, the way you're wired and called. And so again, all of these are clues, right? So these are clues. Right? All of these are clues. They point to this area, which is your compass. So if you go back to the teaching sheet, final area is purpose. get clear about purpose in the statement. And here's what we can kind of devise from this. If you look at Paul says, to me, the very least of all saints, he was called to what? Preach to the Gentiles the unfathomable riches of Christ, and to bring to light was the administration which is suitable for the fullness of the times, to preach to the Gentiles the unfathomable riches of Christ, and what? To teach and to admonish, right? What's he say? That we may present, or that we proclaim him, Christ, admonishing every man and teaching every man with all wisdom, that we may present every man complete in Christ. That's the result for him. So preach to the Gentiles. So Paul's gifting and purpose were around what? Preaching. He was an apostle, called, teacher, preaching, teaching, right? And he understood who it was to. Now that doesn't mean did he interact with non-Gentiles, of course, but he had a core purpose in the midst of it, to preach to the Gentiles. Right? That's why when he prays that I would speak with boldness in Ephesians 6, where he talks about pray for me, that I would speak with boldness. That's not what you should have people pray for you. He's saying pray for me that I would carry out my calling with boldness. Everybody get that? Right? Carry out my calling with boldness. So he says, to me, the very least of all saints. And then in John, he reminds them, you didn't choose me, but I chose you and appointed you that you should go and bear fruit that remains, right? Not that he's not talking about spiritual fruit, inner fruit, he's talking about fruit from our life, right? External, outward fruit that would remain, that you may ask anything of the Father. So I love this. Here's the phrase, to me, the very least of all saints, this grace was given. How many can identify with that phrase? To me, the very least of all saints, grace was given. And that grace was given to verb, in other words, verb is around the purpose, right? The verbs are around the gifting that he has, to help, to lead, to teach, to, right? So all of the spiritual gifts have verbs surrounding them, and then understanding who is it? Because this makes life really easy. Hey, Scott, we have an opening in the children's ministry. No, I don't have to pray about it. I don't have to think about it, right? Because usually what happens when the pastor says, you have to do more of this, more of this, more of this, those who are wired as leaders always feel guilty, don't they? Oh, I should be doing that. No, because this is your big yes. That's your big yes in life. The big yes makes no is really easy. Ever get that? Jesus said no all the time because he had a big yes. Don't you understand your big yes? No's are really easy. Oh, hey, I wonder if you can get them all. Then no. No, thank you. No, appreciate you being. No, nine yet. Nine, no. Usually people who are asking the question are at least open to get the answer. That would be one. Number two is to, once you've completed it, it's to run it by two or three people who are close to you and say, am I in my own world here? Or, right, you know me, right? So have your... 12-3-1, have your 3-1, right? Which is the one person who knows you the best, say, is this in line? Does this make sense, right? And the 3, right? And be asking people, if you want to seriously do this either as an update for your life or for the first time, have people pray for you. People say, well, what about my spiritual gifts? Well, two ways to know. One, ask the Lord. Two, look at the gifts in Scripture, see what God shows you. And three, ask the people closest to you, because you'll see. Spiritual fruit comes out through spiritual giving. Does that make sense? So in the center of this is your big yes. And so it has to do with verbs. The verbs are around the spiritual gifts that you have. And it happens to do with who. Who is it? Fundamentally, mine is for believers. It's not unbelievers. That's not what I'm called fundamentally to. Some people are called more to unbelievers than they are believers, right? Our ministry is mainly to believers, to equip them, right? To deepen them in their faith so that they can stand firm, finish strong. That's what we do. Doing it for 30-some years, right? Same thing. Everybody get it? That doesn't mean we don't interact or share your faith or whatnot, but fundamentally, our ministry is to believers. right? Those who are evangelizing are primarily with unbelievers, right? Everybody get? So it's primarily, not exclusively, but primarily. And this is really about primarily. It's to have a big yes in life, to be able to say no to most things. Because what's the old Russian proverb? The man who chases two rabbits doesn't get either of them. Doesn't get either of them, right? So, to me, the very least of all saints. So, a purpose statement. So back on, now I'll give you a final 2 minutes, back on your map sheet, do a poor purpose statement. I think, Lord, to me, the very least of all things, I think that I'm called to what? With whom? In order so that they would, so you can do a poor purpose statement or an updated one. So again, it has verbs, which are related to your spiritual gifts, clarity about who is it to, and then an outcome. Let me say this is really hard. That's because this is really hard. Usually the things that are most important in your life are really difficult, right? They're really challenging. Scary, right? Scary to write it down, right? Scary to have it blank. It's scary to have words there, right? That's why you have version one, right? You gotta have some of it. Well, good work. Give yourself a round of applause. Really, good work. No, I mean, it's not easy. I have a folder of various versions of these to contain. This is something that you should revisit on a regular basis, only if you want to live on purpose with purpose, right? For his purpose, right? Which is what we're really called to do. So, amen. And may the God who has fearfully and wonderfully made you, may he bless you, may he keep you, may he cause his face to shine upon you, may he lift up his countenance and grant you his shalom deep in your soul. May the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God the Father, the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you now and always. May he bless you and keep you. Amen.
Thanks for listening. I hope you have greater hope, assurance, and confidence in your life and a deeper trust in the God of the Bible and his Son, Jesus Christ. Until next time, may the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. And may the Lord lift up his countenance on you and give you his peace, his shalom in your soul and in your life. Until next time, may God bless you and keep you.